I use New York Times Cooking at least 3 to 4 times a week.
I love sheet pan bibimbap. It said 35 minutes. It was 35 minutes.
The cucumber salad with soy, ginger, and garlic. Oh my God, that is just to die for.
This turkey chili has over 17,000 five-star ratings. So easy, so delicious.
The instructions are so clear, so simple, and it just works.
Hey, it's Eric Kim from New York Times Cooking. Come cook with us. Go to nytcooking.com.
Welcome to the New York Times podcast, your ended of music, news, and criticism. I'm John Caramonica, a critic at the New York Times.
I'm Joe Coscarelli. I'm a reporter at the New York Times.
Joe, 2024, awful year. Terrible year.
I had a good year.
Perverse. It's a perverse thing to say. It has been a chaotic year, especially in pop music. A number of people have emerged from the ether who we could not have predicted 12 months ago. People who we thought maybe would dominate the year. Where are they?
Not here.
No, certainly not here. They're absolutely not with us at SOBs. It's a real confusing time. Everybody's fatigued. Are y'all fatigued of lists?
We're going to make a list because, in real time.
Yeah, because we have one last list for everybody. We're going to do the 10 most meaningful music moments of pop in 2024. We're going to run those down. They're sort of, I would say they're non-ordinal. I would say they're non-ordinal.
Mine are in order.
Mine are not in order. Joe did the homework. Sorry, I didn't do it.
Mine are in 5-1 order. We'll put it that way. Not 1-5.
Okay. Well, for those keeping score at home, like if you're on the... First of all, shout out to the Discord. Who's on the Discord? Who's on the Discord? Look at that.
Meet each other if you don't already
know each
other.
Yeah, like everybody hang out. Two people here told me that they're internet friends, but not from the Discord, but from a Bleachers fan community.
Look, that's for you to answer to. I told you, Bleachers fans have good taste.
That's phenomenal. Tell them I send my regrets. Like, with deepest regrets. We're going to go through our 10 semi-ordinal moments. We're going to open up the floor for Q&A. There'll be a microphone being passed around. And then we're going to have a snack. And then we're going to hang out and talk. Right?
Sure.
We have stickers. Mm-hmm. What else? I see people wearing the t-shirts.
Yeah, a couple t-shirts in the room. This logo might need to be retired in 2024.
That's rude.
It doesn't get better than being outside SOBs. Like, that's its peak.
I understand, but Purple Haze, it's having its 20th anniversary this year. It's a very important album.
There you go.
Pressed on vinyl for the first time.
Do you remember the first time, first and only time we did something like this live?
Yes.
We asked the room, do you know the reference for the logo? And you remember that nobody knew the reference? There you go. Yeah. But it took a minute.
That's right.
There was a long silence before anyone was like, it's Cameron's Purple Haze logo. Yes.
Is it weird? Like, if you don't know that that's Cameron's Purple Haze font from the album cover, why do you like us? Genuine question. No. Tell us during the Q&A. I'll be really curious.
I have an answer for you, but I'm going to save it.
All right, we'll save it for later.
It has to do with what year people were born.
Okay. As usual, Joe is surreptitiously calling me old. What a blessing. Joe, I think it's time for you to talk to people about your first pop music moment of 2024.
I'm going to play a song. You've all heard it. It's not my favorite song of the year. It's not even my fourth favorite song by this artist of the year, but it stuck with me. You guys know this one? You seen this? I just want to listen to a little bit of it, just so you remember. I forgot about this video. It's all right. It's pretty good. You guys know the words to this song? Do you, actually? Are you sure?
Yeah. All right. It's a really good question.
I want to talk about the pre-chorus. I want to hear the pre-chorus. Focus on this.
Do you want me to use the restroom?
So the first 100 times I heard this song, I had no idea what she was saying, let alone talking about. I find it to be really hard to grasp the sentences, if you could call them
that. You mean she's not enunciating?
Yes, the millennial mouth is strong, you know, in terms of
the... Is that a real thing? Did you just invent that?
No, it's like a Halsey. It's like a style of singing with a lack of enunciation. Ariana Grande.
In this house, we do not stan Halsey. Sorry.
But the lyrics to this song, I just kept coming back to them.
Oh, geez.
So, all right, there's this Nintendo thing, right? Switch it up like a Nintendo, right? Move it up, down, left, right, oh. I don't know what she's talking about there. But then, eventually, you get around to the metaphor that's the through line for the song. And I'm telling you, when I tell you that this only hit me like 2 months ago, like, this song is about caffeine and comparing lust to caffeine, right? So the lines, there's only...
Where
like,
are you going?
There's only, only like two lines in this song about caffeine.
This song came out 8 months ago.
I just need us all to focus for a moment on the lines, I know I mountain do it for ya. That morning coffee... brewed it for you. One touch and I brand newed it for you. So like that one's not about caffeine anymore. Like you have two lines about caffeine and then all of a sudden, I think nonsense sells. I think like this song kept me coming back because it's so hard to understand the extended metaphor in which caffeine is represented by espresso and Mountain Dew. I just want to just sit with that for a little bit.
Look, I am a noted connoisseur of caffeine consumption.
I know. You this drink like, Mountain Dew. Like, how? Oh, if you're naming things with caffeine in them, how far down the list do you have to go before you get to Mountain Dew?
Ask J.D. Vance. Okay.
So these lyrics...
Wait, there's more?
That's it. Okay. These to me, these are the best lyrics of the year.
Okay.
Because of...
The best songwriting of the year, would
the
you
best
say?
Songwriting of the year because they just keep you coming back.
Okay. You know what this really reminds me of? All right, so one of the most perplexing lines in any pop song in the last, like, 10 years, it's on Rihanna's Wild Thoughts, mm-hmm. A Boogie unofficial remix, way better, candidly, but not officially released. There's a line where Rihanna's on there, and she says something, something, something like the 68 Jets, mm-hmm. which is a football team. At least, you know that. I don't. Why? Rihanna doesn't know anything about 68 Jets. You think she knows about Broadway Joe Namath? You think she's out there in the fur, like on the field? Like, that's what she's up on? It just reminds me that pop songwriting, especially when it's done by committee, can often feel blocked together like Lego blocks and not sort of organically smushed together like the Hailey Bieber smoothie at Erewhon.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And this feels like that to me.
And I think what I like about it is that it's like self-consciously doing the Swedish songwriter thing where Max Martin was often writing nonsense lyrics, but these are Americans doing it because they grew up on that. So they're like, we can play with language.
Make it ours.
Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
I feel like this is an opportunity for me to say something that I said in another setting recently, but I don't know if it's going to come out, so I feel like I need to say it. When this song came out, what did I call Sabrina Carpenter?
Dupa Lipa.
Dupa Lipa.
You were wrong.
I was wrong. I recant. I'm here to recant on stage in front of all these people.
I saw it made your year endless.
Yes.
You didn't even love the album the week after it came out.
When I went back to it as I was planning my year endless, the songs that seemed the weakest really felt bolstered by the songs that were like undeniably great. Yeah, Dupa Lipa. First of all, that didn't take off.
No.
Where were y'all when I was calling Sabrina Carpenter Dupalipa.
Can I say
no?
That I feel like we have it on good authority that it made it back to Dua Lipa.
Oh, and to Sabrina, Sabrina Carpenter. Oh, I didn't know that. Did it make it back to Dua? I know it made it back to Sabrina.
Was she thrilled? But this leads
leads to my next my first pop music mess of the year, which is pop star mess, pop girl mess. Sabrina, bizarre lyrics, very, very visually intense live performance, shall we say. Chapel Roan, also very intense lyrics, very intense live performance, and then this. Just know if I come at you with the this, Junior's taking you out of here. It's all right. Okay, so this has been a pretty fascinating year for the next generation of pop girls navigating how to be in public. I think you're seeing two things happen at the same time. One, they're inheriting obvious like aesthetic and creative. They're much more advanced aesthetically and creatively at an earlier stage of their career.
Because they all had Tumblr.
Yes, they all had Tumblr. They grew up on Taylor and Gaga and Katie. All that stuff's like already been metabolized. But when you accelerate as quickly as Chapel did this year and as Sabrina did this year, you're going to have some ruptures. There was a lot of rupture, especially with Chapel, and especially during the summer. So I was on book leave for part of the year. And one of the things when I came back from book leave, I was like, how come no one's written about Chapel just going off on people every 48 hours? So that was one of the first things that I did.
But you were really forgiving. I have to say, a lot of people had about enough of the, you know, and you said,
fundamentally, that's okay. Look, to me, look, I'm not famous. You're pretty famous. Pretty famous. That's how I think of it. But to all of a sudden go from a person who's making TikToks for an audience of 100,000 or 200,000 to playing to an audience of 100 or 200,000 at Lollapalooza, I just don't think like the American mind can't comprehend that. And so I think, number one, I forgive a little bit of friction, a little bit of frisson. I forgive it. But number two, stan behavior is toxic. Whatever she's pointing at, whatever photographer she's pointing at, that person's probably not a great person.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. Probably not a great person, or at least is not behaving in a way that a great person would behave.
Or,
oh,
Chapel Roan is going through so much.
It's the same thing.
That she doesn't know exactly where to put her angst.
But you have to reset the boundary somewhere. And I think in a year where stan energy on the internet, positive and negative, has been louder than ever, resetting is a really valuable thing. And maybe some people will take a page from Chapel and say, out there, not in here.
You've already disparaged Halsey once, but Halsey may have been the first person to actively scream at their own stands on the street.
Are you sure that wasn't just a label ploy to get her attention? Oh, y'all are Halsey stands? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that the people who come to Popcast Live were big Halsey stands. My bad. Forgive me. So anyway, Pop Girl Mess, Sabrina, with lyrics, with public presentation, whatever this Christmas special is. You watched the Christmas special?
I saw the clips.
Wilding. Absolutely wilding. Chapel. And dare I say, without going into too much detail, whatever is coming for Addison Rae in 2025.
Can we just give Addison Rae a hand? She's just been doing so good.
Seriously. She's doing great. Addison Rae is doing amazing. I'm on board. I know you're on board. Everyone who's working with Addison Rae, just know we see you and support you.
We're going to do a hard pivot.
Oh, jeez. When Joe told me what this was going to be, I might point at myself out the room while you're talking about this.
The characters we get online these days, they're complicated. And it's hard to know who you're laughing at, who you're laughing with. If
is it?
Sometimes it feels immoral to be seeing the things that we're seeing. Like, I think a lot about Haley Welch.
Hawk Tua, for the uninitiated, for those who don't know her government.
This young woman had never been on a plane before, right?
She did never, you buy them the meme coin?
I did not buy the
meme coin. They might buy the Hawk Tua meme coin in here. The
drink's on us if you lost your life savings.
If you got rug pulled by Haley Welch, drink's on us.
But watching that ascent where you're like, is this healthy? Like, or do we feel for this person? Are we just taking them through the ringer to then discard them? You know, I didn't expect her to have a podcast more popular than ours. I didn't see that in her future, but you know, you feel for someone who's being put through that particular ringer along the lines.
Welcome
of what you're
to Hawk Tua. Welcome to Hawk Tua Live.
No, Talk Tua.
Talk Tua Live. Yeah, sorry. Welcome to Talk Tua Live. Have you seen the kids on TikTok who do the kind of like literary analysis of every episode of Talk Tua?
There is a podcast that just recaps Talk Tua.
Yeah. Shouts to those guys.
Close reading Talk Tua.
Sorry.
So Dave Blunts.
Yeah.
David Blunts.
First of all, who knows who Dave... Do you guys know who Dave Blunts is?
Five very unhealthy people.
Sorry.
This is what I want to say. There's a lot of tug of war right now. Dave Blunts is going to be a character moving into 2025. So if you come to Popcast for anything, you come to learn a little bit about the characters you're going to learn a lot about in a couple months, right? I think, is that safe to say?
Yes, it is safe.
People are going to be fighting about Dave Blunts for at least the next 6 weeks.
Weeks.
6 weeks. And I feel like in the online conversation about whether this guy is for real, whether he's being taken advantage of, whether he's taking advantage of us, it just doesn't get talked about enough that he is really talented. He's a really talented guy, and he did this freestyle on the radar radio. It's called Crying in the Kitchen, and
Brace yourselves.
This is actually the important part of this video. On the radar
radio. Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
Yeah. Wait for it. There. This is the important part. It comes with a disclaimer. I don't know if you guys listen to popular music. I don't know if you listen to rap music. The stuff we hear without giving it a second thought is insane. Like, imagine your parents when you were a kid knowing what kind of music you listen to now.
First of all, my dad is here. This was a source of... Everybody give it up for my dad.
Imagine
this was a source of a lot of consternation in my teenage years especially. I have a very vivid memory of being in the car with my dad talking about Jerry the Damages Come Clean. The line, you know, leave your nines at home and bring your skills to the battle. And my dad was like, why do they have to talk about guns? And I was like, it's about art.
For me, it was Shaggy. It wasn't me.
Joe's from Florida. Sorry.
This might be a false memory, but I'm pretty sure my mom called the radio station to talk about it. Like, on air.
About your enjoyment of this song.
No, about what it's like to be
about
driving infidelity. Your kid to school.
About infidelity.
To be driving your kid to school and hearing these lyrics. And now it's Sexy Red. So it's like, so, you know, like, I like at least there's some gender balance.
Shout out your mom.
I just want to, just the fact that the Dave Blunts freestyle has a disclaimer.
Do the other On the Radars not have a disclaimer? Come on. Journalism. Did you do a journalism on this or no?
They do not have a disclaimer like this.
Okay, fine. I just had to ask.
And we'll listen to a little bit of it and you'll see why. But I do want to note that Dave Blunts has a gift for both melody and comedy.
Yes, sir, baby. On the Radar Radio performances. Yo, David Blunts in the building performing Crying in the Kitchen right here. I'm going to step out. He's going to step in. All right, let's go.
Why are you in the background of this video, though?
What? I love him. What can I say?
Wake up 3 a.m. and I'm thinking about medicine. She tell me she got a new nigga and his name is Julian. Give a fuck about her new nigga. I'm just trying to get my check bigger. Niggas hate on me because I'm a fat nigga. I'm a bitch getter. Got a white bitch, she a wrist slitter. Got Jewish money, nigga, fuck it. Don't let Seth Tobin be your babysitter. Cause I heard that nigga was a kid diddler. Yeah, I heard that nigga was a pedophile.
You get the idea. So he did say, I have a white bitch, she's a wrist slitter. And he did. The only, I don't know if you noticed, the only word they bleep in this entire verse is Hitler.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
Moving on.
That's all you have to say. You
should, that's it.
You're just leaving these people contactless.
I'm just saying, keep an eye out for Dave Blunt in 2025.
Whatever you think he said in that verse, it's three times worse. Just whatever part you caught, it's three times worse.
There is an amazing tweet that helped send this freestyle viral that said, like, these 12 seconds of music are the most diabolical thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. There was one day a couple weeks ago that I had this on repeat in the house. I don't know what I was going through. Real rough.
But so you agree with me.
Pass. I do want to talk about SoundCloud Rap 5.0 or 6.0. Whatever this is a part of, whatever scene this is, whatever it's adjacent to, proximate to, one of the things I've really enjoyed as someone who's covered these scenes journalistically is that this current wave seems to have their own internal media system, right? And so I just really want to point people to a couple of things. I want to point people to 42CEO, Fruit Snacks, Sad Part, Hyperbolic.
Just making these up as you
go. Yeah, these are like Scrabble tiles. You'd like pull them out of the bag and like maybe they're words, maybe they're not. Hyperpop Daily. There is an on the ground set of people who are covering this with the level of dedication that I like to think that I put in when I was young, and they are increasingly part of the ecosystem.
They're zines.
Yeah, they're exactly. 42CEO is as famous at Rolling Loud as probably half the artists that he's trying to interview. Encouraging to me journalistically, even if I don't know how to make a TikTok. But I'm really, really glad that that exists. I was especially glad that that existed on one particular day that I thought was this year, but technically it was December of last year.
We know that year-end lists,
yeah.
December counts for the fall.
December counts. Who knows about the Yapo JJ riots?
Oh, yeah. Fewer people than know about David Blunt.
Okay, so talking about doing events that are free with RSVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Don't do that if you're a 19-year-old rapper.
Okay, so Yapo JJ is a rapper in the sort of Netspend ecosystem, Osama-san, like all those guys. Who's in the Netspend now? Who likes the Netspend album? More people.
Crickets.
Okay, what?
Loud crickets, but crickets.
Crickets, sort of. You know, 2025, come back to us. We'll be doing more on this. So Yapo JJ did his first New York show. Or was
did
supposed
he?
To, no, was supposed to do his first New York show at the Mercury Lounge, which is maybe smaller than this.
Mm-hmm.
Announced free with RSVP. Now, when I saw that, I was like, oh, this is going to be a mess. Obviously, hundreds of kids are going to show up. I remember driving up, and as I'm driving looking for parking, I already see 300 kids out on the street. This is on Houston.
It's
out
like
on the
you've
street.
Seen Children of Men, you know, the shot with he's driving. That was John pulling up to Mercury.
It really was. And I was like, I should really park my car far from here. Because, like, whatever's about to happen, I don't think my car should be near it. So I went a couple blocks away and parked. I came back. By the time I got back, everybody I knew who was inside was like, bro, I'm trying to get out. Like, this is bad. And everybody who was outside was fighting at the door to get in. And at a certain point, they removed the metal detector, like a full metal detector, from the door of the Mercury Lounge. The kids pulled it out into the streets, jumped on it in the middle of Houston, and tore it into pieces. Now, at this point, I don't know where Yapo JJ is. I don't know if he's in the basement. I don't know if he's on stage. I don't know if he's being escorted to an undisclosed location. But it turned ugly. Kids were climbing up the, what is the thing on the outs? Fire escapes.
Fire escape?
Climbing up the fire escapes.
We got the footage.
We have the footage. So wait, pause for a sec. That's me. I'm like right just out of camera on this.
I've never seen you wear that fit of jeans.
That's true. That's accurate. I'm standing right there, and I am really thinking hard about my life choices that led me to that. But needless to say, there was no Yapo JJ show that night. But it was actually more important for the lore that this happened than the concert happened. Because if the concert happened, it probably wouldn't have been,
Yeah, but and here we are, one of your most memorable music moments of the year.
I have more footage on my phone if anybody wants to see it. Joe, what do you have next?
All right, my number three music moment of the year, I'm going to turn on Ernest for a second. Seriously.
Like Ernest and Hardy and Morgan Wallen, Ernest?
Yes.
That Ernest?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes you're writing about an artist and you're trying to make sense of them. We get to spend a little bit of time with them, but not that much. Like, how much time do you think it really takes to get to know someone? Like, weeks, months, years? We usually have hours, sometimes hours across the span of a day or two. Yeah. This is my background music. I was writing about McGee. We like McGee.
There we go.
That's, yeah.
He's your number Nets one album. With the guitar.
Your number one album.
Yes, my number one album of 2024.
Sometimes you're spending time with an artist and they're not saying much, or they're not saying much that really letting you know who they are, but they play you music. And we're in LA, we're in Silver Lake, riding in his car, a real beater, like one of the dirtiest cars I've ever seen. Like,
and Joe's from Florida.
Yeah.
Like,
this was not a nice car. He's made a lot of money this year, I presume. Hasn't spent it on a car yet. But he was playing me some music, and he played me a song that I've never heard before. It's a cult favorite. You guys know Home Alone? I'm going somewhere with this. The movie Home Alone, holiday film. This is Catherine O'Hara's sister. So the mom in Home Alone, her sister put out an album in 1988 called Miss America.
I'm not tapped in.
And her name is Mary Margaret O'Hara. And he played me this song, Bodies in Trouble. And all of a sudden, his album made perfect sense to me. He was like, I love this song because it doesn't sound like music. You're not sure where it's going. She doesn't seem like she's listening to the track behind her. She seems too nervous to
sing.
Like
Ian.
Yeah.
Like Ian.
And he started playing it for me, and we just sat in silence driving, around Silver Lake, playing this song, and right. It is probably my most listened to song of the year by the woman from Home Alone's sister. But it just really, it was the skeleton key to me understanding what he was trying to do on his album. And maybe you'll hear it in the song and maybe you won't, but the other person this reminded me of, who I also spent a lot of my year thinking about, and this is going to be weird once you hear the song, but it's Young Thug. This is like, she's doing things with her vocal delivery and her relationship to the beat that only the greatest artists of each generation do, where they break the rules and yet they're still like really tapping into something. So this song really only works if you listen to all 5 minutes of it, because she gains confidence as she goes. But I'm just going to play a little bit, and then I highly recommend maybe go listen to it when you get home. You ever seen this?
No.
You didn't think you were going to hear anything like this tonight, did you?
She had her perform next show.
I just wanna push somebody, nobody won't let you. Just want to move somebody, nobody won't let you. Want to steal somebody, nobody won't let you. Who do you talk to? Who do you talk to?
You get the idea, right? And it just keeps building like this for 5 minutes. You hear the McGee in this?
Anybody's in trouble.
Yes.
Anybody's in trouble. Anybody's in trouble.
Anyway, go home and get the payoff when she really finds herself at the end. It's Mary Margaret O'Hara, the sister of Catherine O'Hara, the mom from Home
Alone. How many plays on this YouTube video besides you and McGee?
Quite a few.
Okay.
289,000 views.
Solid.
Over 18 years. So not great on like an annual basis, but you know.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. A lot of error embedded into that vocal. And obviously that's one of the things that's so fascinating about McGee.
Yes.
Is the way that he deploys error or things that we would think of as wrong into my ear in like a Gexian mode.
Yes.
I see over there. I saw folks at the Gex show. I see y'all. You were there too. Big night. So that makes a lot of sense. Also, that sort of ponderous sense of melodrama that many people find unappealing, but I personally find appealing. Yes. Real spot. Real talk. Okay. Great. She'll perform at the next podcast show.
Yes. We're going to get her out of retirement.
Huge.
Hi, this is Lori Leibovich, editor of Well at the New York Times. There's a lot of misinformation in the health and wellness space, but at the New York Times, no matter what the topic, we apply the same journalistic standards to everything we write about, whether it's the gut microbiome or how to get a good night's sleep, even if we're talking about something like, is it bad for me to drink coffee on an empty stomach? Everything that our readers get when they dig into a Well article has been vetted. Our reporters are consulting experts, calling dozens of people, doing the research. It can go on for months so that you can make great decisions about your physical health and your mental health. We take our reporting extra seriously because we know New York Times subscribers are counting on us. If you already subscribe, thank you. If you'd like to subscribe, go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Let's talk about the opposite of error. Literally the opposite of error. Okay, so as I mentioned, ad nauseum, I was on book leave for most of the year or a bunch of the year. And I was like, I'm not reviewing anything. I'm not going anything. And so I went to see the Missy Elliott tour. Did anybody see the Missy Elliott tour at Barclays? No?
Wow.
Real crickets.
This is what I'm saying. The year you were born is really important.
Wow. Okay. I went to see, y'all know who Missy Elliott is. Okay.
One second. All you people who know who Missy Elliott is but didn't go to the tour, what's your associate? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when we say Missy Elliott?
Good. Okay. Go. That's all the right.
You were there, though. You were there.
I went to the Missy tour, and Karen, our editor, was there. Did I go with Karen?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And at the end of the night, I turned to her and I said, I have to write about this. I was that moved. It was that overwhelming. Missy Elliott is one of the most consistently inventive and yet somehow still underrated presences in the history of hip-hop, even though she's in the literal Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But somehow, I feel like is still underappreciated. Never headlined a tour. This person is responsible for like 3 to 5 of the best songs ever made, at least. And maybe two and a half incredible albums, never headlined a tour. This was like a military exercise. The number of dancers, the costume changes, the set changes. It was unreal. It was a stadium level show in an arena still, but the level of inventiveness, creativity. You also interviewed her around this time about some of the choices that she made. This show was so good that it shook me out of my book leave stupor and had me staying up till 4 a.m, just like the good old days when I used to come here to review concerts.
Writing a concert review for the love of the game.
It's true. That's how I am. So that, to me, it was an interesting year in live music. Other shows that I loved, Sabrina Live, Chapel Live, Zach Bryan Live, Stevie Wonder, mostly. No shots on. I mean, Stevie, you know, one of
the judging against perfection.
Yeah,
right?
You know, there's a little bit of in the middle there. And also one of the worst concerts I ever went to by one of my favorite album makers, Bossman D-Lo. Sorry, apologies to Bossman D-Lo.
Was that here?
It was at the Gramercy Theater. In the sense that it was anywhere at all.
Right.
I don't know if it congealed quite to that point. Anyway, Missy, if you have a chance, if she goes back on the road, strong recommend. That was an extremely memorable night from a guy who has been out to too many shows over too many years. Joe, what do you have next?
It was a weird year for rap music. We had a hard time, I think, you and I. You know, even the thing you just said, you Missy Elliott, top of your list.
Yeah.
25 years old. Bossman D-Lo, new artist.
Yep.
Bottom of your list, right? Mm-hmm. We had a hard time finding things to grab onto, I think, in this top-heavy year. Top and bottom-heavy.
It's a year of resettling, I think. You know, you have generational icons. You have Kendrick and Drake being mad at each other. And really what you're seeing there is like the last gasps of like the old power system trying to figure out who's going to be able to control the legacy and the narrative. But underneath that, and we talk about this a lot, there's just not yet a totally compelling rising class that's going to take those spots.
And I thought fellow writer Alphonse Pierre at Pitchfork put this well in his year-end rap list, where he said it felt like the mainstream and the underground had never been more disconnected.
Yeah.
And that there's this huge space in the middle. And yet here I am, a guy of 36 years old, just trying to...
Rub it in, why don't you? Rub it
just,
in.
Just trying to find something to grasp onto. And sometimes you just want comfort. And what I found that comfort in was the latest album from Sa Baby. This is an Atlanta rapper, had a huge moment.
You know, I did the first ever Saw Baby interview.
I remember.
Like a bunch
I was
of years
there.
Ago.
Yeah, 2016.
Great time.
So for pull those, up with of a you, stick. Those of you not familiar, Saw Baby put out a video called Pull Up With A Stick. He's from Chicago, moved as a young person to Atlanta, put out this extremely jarring music video.
Yeah.
For Pull Up With A Stick. It resulted in the entire housing project where it was shot being raided and essentially torn down because of the amount of firearms in the video. There's, you know, a detective in Atlanta said, like, in court said, you know, you see this video and you think it's Iraq or it's Afghanistan, but it's the middle of Atlanta. So he never quite reached, I think, the stardom that was promised.
Yeah, I mean, Saw Baby at that time seemed to be someone who had figured out, I don't mean this in a negative way, but like there was a Young Thug conundrum at that moment, which is how can someone who is so kind of like sui generis with flow, so inventive, so creative, such a barrier breaker, but somehow hadn't quite figured out how to coalesce that around a hit or like coherent song structure. And Saw Baby's album, that first one or the first tape, seemed like potentially the solution to that problem.
And so he sort of settled into, as many gray rappers, especially of this era, do, of being like a cult hero, an underground artist, comfortable where he was, not chasing hits. And then here we are in 2024, as I said, Young Thug, big part of my year, I think, as a music fan, if you were paying attention to this, you know, multi-year trial that he went through. And there was just this vacuum in Atlanta rap, which we've just been waiting for someone to fill. And I think because he came up in the footsteps of Young Thug sound-wise, he had a hard time outrunning that. But with Thug gone and not putting out a lot of music, I feel like that opened the lane for him to once again make music that is more mainstream, frankly, like less experimental than the mixtapes he's put out in between. And there's a song in particular called Roll With Me that's just, again, one of my most listened to songs of the year since it came out only a couple weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. 3 weeks ago.
And because you can hear him working it out in real time, it starts extremely generic. He's just saying words. He says Walgreens at one point, I think.
He has Sabrina Carpenter's writing
team. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you feel him sort of working his way through connecting with the beat. And then when he hits the pocket and starts playing off of the piano, like it just has that bounce to it. And it sort of took me back, straight back to 2017, where I would like to live longer. So we'll just listen to a little bit of that. I'm like, okay, this song is okay. Bitch, I'm a walking stone. Bitch, I'm a, yeah. Bitch, I'm a walking stone. Bitch, I'm a, yeah. Bitch, I'm a walking stone. All these, Wendy's, wild screens, Walgreens, tall cheese, bowling, y'all me, y'all me, y'all, yeah, I'm letting it in. They talking about Chow Mein, but we ball like Yao Ming. We ball like Yao Ming. What the fuck y'all mean?
We buy like LeBron Heat. The ops went carnivore. Them niggas on straight meat.
And now he's just off. Like, now he's got it, you know?
You know about the Yao Ming wine? You're up on that?
No, is it good?
I don't know.
Bit like Soldier Slim with a K on my shoulder and gold teeth. My whole bag. Nigga, that's all talk. I get that bag.
Again, finish this on your own time, but there's just something about music made spontaneously. If you've followed how a lot of these rappers record, you know that they're doing impressionism in real time. And when they hit their stride, there's just nothing sweeter than like feeling them lock in, you know? And I really got that out of this song in a way that moved me and made me think about the rap music I loved 10 years ago.
That was very beautiful, man. That was really touching. You telling me that you're turning into one of those like crusty OGs who's just like, these kids, I can't stand what they're doing. That's you're becoming that?
A young kid made good, you know?
Oh, jeez. Okay, my fourth thing. Speaking of young kids making good.
How young exactly?
That's a great question. Okay, so I wanted to talk about TikTok briefly because I thought... one of the things I wrote about TikTok a couple of years ago is that it was, and our friend Jordan is here, former TikTok employee. You tell me how this went over in the office back in 2022. That TikTok was going to be sort of bad for music fundamentally because it was going to attach other things to snippets of songs and people wouldn't necessarily fall in love with the performer of the song as much as the snippet of the thing, the video that's attached to it.
Mm-hmm. As we saw with like a Steve Lacy.
Yeah. Who? Oh, Halsey and Steve Lacy. Sorry. Have you guys listened to Popcast? So I want to talk briefly about one TikTok that kind of reversed that, but then I want to show another TikTok that's just speaking of Dave Blunt. So there was, did you guys see the Brazilian, the Baile Funk guy who was walking through his neighborhood singing a cappella and clapping? That TikTok, nobody saw that? Sort of. Anybody? Yeah, one person saw it. Okay.
For You page is twisted.
It really is. It is diabolical. So this is a fundamentally unknown artist singing a cappella. If I sing the part, if I go, Ella, that part, does that ring a bell for anybody? No? Damn. I didn't think I'd be singing on the stage of SOBs to crickets. Anyway, I'll drop it in the chat what it is. And this was a guy who nobody knew who he was. This TikTok went so crazy that my feed was filled with copycats being like that one guy, one Brazilian guy on my For You page redoing his song. Within 2 weeks, he's filming on a rooftop with Mr. Beast, who flew down to Brazil. And now I assume that guy is richer than us. So shout out to him.
He earned it by hanging out with Mr. Beast.
Yeah, it's true. So his name is MC Menor JP. Look him up. I do think we should show this other TikTok. This is one of the most sinister things that I consumed all year. Just watch the whole thing. We're just going to watch the whole thing.
Shoes.
$300.
Gatekeeping the jeans because there's no jeans left like this on earth. Rare Dior belt. Hedy Dior. H&M t-shirt that I've worn for 2 weeks straight and I refuse to change. Marjala 5-Zip. 5,000 West Catholic medals. A Celine necklace Chandler gave me for my birthday. Brandy Melville. Congealed into one. Rat's nest.
Vans Old School. Lux. $80. Cool vintage belt I stole from my ex-girlfriend. Calvin Klein underwear. Alexander Dejanova tee. I believe it belongs to Noah. 100. 2007 Dior Home. Hedy Slimane. 1,000. 2014 Hedy Slimane. St. Laurent jacket, $4,200. The jeans will be gate kept because all the low-waisted, skin-tight jeans do not exist anymore. I don't tell anybody where to get them. We bought them all from Bosnia.
Bosnia and Italy, they have all the low-waisted, skinny jeans.
Walk me through your fits and tell me how much everything...
Okay.
First, we want to welcome our special guests. The help.
Okay, first of all, who knows who the help are? More people...
Adler.
Okay, more people than know, like, Dave Blunt. Okay, what do y'all think about that? Okay, so first of all, Emma, who is doing the interview, Emma Rogue runs a store in the Lower East Side. I profiled her a couple years ago. She does a lot of these fit checks with sort of like random people, and then every now and again a quote-unquote celebrity will arrive, and then these guys. Cool vintage belt I stole from my ex-girl. Cool. Great story. What is happening here? Is this what's become of fame?
Which part?
Okay, I'm sorry. This has me in my feelings. The thing that I struggle with is they are essaying so hard to be, we're cool, we're above it, we're post it, we're taking your street videos, which are usually with like cute kawaii raver kids and their Alibaba Express fur boots, but we're throwing in a $4,200 Eddie Slimane jacket, and we're talking about buying skinny, oh, y'all wearing baggy Balenciaga? Y'all wearing Vetements? Yeah, the hell with fuck your Vetements. I'm getting my jeans from Bosnia. They're so skinny. Like, I can fit my entire jeans in one leg of your Vetements Levi's reconstructed.
Same.
Yeah. You are definitely wearing Bosnian jeans tonight. To be fair, you're often wearing Bosnian jeans.
Sure. I dress for my figure.
Who's... Excuse you. Call me old and call me thick? Jeez.
You said thick.
Okay. Yeah, slim thick. That's actually true. So speaking of slim here, who's this for?
Fans of The Help.
Who's this for? Like, here's the thing. Part of this, like, doing parody, right? It's not supposed to come off as you can't, like, you're not supposed to be so blatantly doing
this
parody.
This is one of your favorite music moments of the year?
Yes. You know how many times I watched this video? Now keep in mind, I'm... systemically,
like me with espresso. You're just trying to understand it.
I'm systemically unwell. I understand. But I've watched this video 50 times. Easily I've watched this video.
Someone save this guy.
No, I keep watching it in hopes that there's a thread in there that I've missed that will allow me to unravel it and understand it. But sometimes you just kind of come off like a chud. Sorry. Anyway, great time. Watch, stream The Help. Actually, they're not terrible. They're okay. They're, like, not terrible.
If you say so.
They're not terrible. I'm sorry. You guys like Dime Square? Bosnian jeans. Put that on your eBay alerts. Bosnian jeans. That's our new podcast. Our next podcast is going to be called Bosnian Jeans.
I'm going to talk about my actual favorite music of the year.
That is my actual favorite music of the year. Whatever that is, that's jazz. Whatever that is, that's jazz.
2024.
All right.
Mid-December. No, that's where we are now, right? Yeah. This time last year, Playboi Carti put out a song called 2024.
Oh, sorry. They are paying attention to Playboi Carti.
I know they are.
They are taking a standard Playboi Carti outfit, cutting it in half, and each one of them is wearing half of it. That's real vamp life right there.
No one made better music this year than Playboi Carti while dancing at a gas station.
True. True.
So wow. Gas station Carti.
Halsey. Playboi Carti. Unbelievable.
Steve Lacy.
This arch.
And we'll get there.
Yeah.
There's one more that you guys like that we don't like. You know who I'm talking about. 2024, he put out this song December 14th, 2023. He called it 2024. He said the name of his album.
Sure.
I Am Music. Music's coming, 2024.
Me too, bro.
So everyone's like, all right, Playboi Carti, he hasn't put out an album since Christmas of 1942. He starts with this. He's at the gas station. When he gets to the... Play attention to when he gets to the gas station, because that's when the song gets really good. First, he's in the frunk, which is the front trunk. From the frunk to the gas station. Yeah, to the clear port. You came back and you fell. Second place can't be in my face, oh man. You want to talk us through the outfit? Deep pockets, they think
I'm like a Chanel. A lot of Balenciaga. I forget who made the top. I used to know who made the top, but I don't think it's one there. The shoes aren't. Sad, I was in Riverdale.
Off my lead at 2-tone pill. So he's going to leave the garage soon and go to the gas station. He's next, I put him on the mirror. She's next, Also, only rapper smoking cigarettes.
Cigarettes back. Post.
Here they go. They're going to get gas.
Post me. Yep.
There we are. We're at the gas station. Come on. Come on.
Should we? We can do it later if you guys want to do TikToks. We'll do it later.
So this was awesome,
to,
right?
Someone like, was asking if we were going to do the...
okay, so he's at the gas station. It turned out this was a precursor to one of the greatest gas station moments in music history. You guys like Camila Cabello?
What?
She put out this song.
Do they listen to the show?
It's called I Love
Unbelievable.
It. Unbelievable. It's a crazy song. It's a crazy song.
Genuinely an incredible song. We've talked about Error quite a bit tonight.
That's the through line through this my entire there
is,
list.
This is actually somewhere out beyond Error because it is so curated, but every piece of it is wrong that it somehow comes out on the other side, like genuinely bordering on avant-garde.
This is produced in part by El Guincho, who made the early Rosalia music. Mm-hmm. This is a big brain in music, right? But he's working with Camila Cabello. And you're like, what's going on here? There were all these clips that came out before the song came out, and everyone's like, oh, she's ripping off What's-Her-Face, and, you know, like, you know, and then there's a sample of Gucci Mane Lemonade
that
just doesn't fit at all.
It's very strange.
And then the song dies down. We're going to listen to it. It dies down, and then it builds back up, and it builds back up, and it builds back up. And in a song that is all about mess and noise and wrongness, Playboi Carti comes in. He's at the gas station again. He's at the gas station. Actually, we'll do this before we play it because it led to this headline. Camila Cabello paid gas station attendant to stay open for Playboi Carti to shoot I Love It video scene.
This is, okay.
Shout out to LaRisha.
If you want to understand the relationship between Camila Cabello and Sabrina Carpenter, you compare this headline to the Sabrina Carpenter headlines about getting that cardinal fired for shooting that erotic video in the church.
Is that when she said, so I heard I got the mayor
indicted? I heard I got
indicted?
The mayor indicted, yeah. So Sabrina Carpenter, a genuine edgelord.
Yeah.
It's a guy at a gas station. Now, so a really
is,
great gas station.
This is station, the quote from the story, which she said on Los Angeles' Power 106. She said, something happened with his plane. It was insane chaos with the video. Yeah, something happened with his plane. Okay. We had to find a place to film his part. We ended up paying the guy who worked at the gas station to let us stay open with us. He got there, and my
gas
mom...
Gas station wasn't closing?
I know.
You guys have been to gas stations that look like that. They're open all night.
He got there, and my mom had the iPad video screen and was low-key directing it. We had to beg the crew to stay... But Playboi was so sweet. So this is how you know Camila Cabello has never met Cardi, because she calls him Playboi.
Playboi, yeah.
So, but Playboi was so sweet, my mom was in love with him. And when you see how he performed at the gas station, you understand how a mother could fall in love. So this build up.
Love it, I love it, I love it.
So much happening here. It's like seven music videos you've already seen put together.
You think Addison Rae watched this and was like, I got this. I'm not stressed.
This is my favorite music moment of the year. Just this build-up, where he's just saying over and over again.
Oh, that's a Hood by Air jacket, I think.
Slow down, baby.
Are you running?
Yeah.
Are you going? Are you some grown now? Trying to take time back your long. I just know the king got a nine to the drugs. Moving out mid-chain, I feel burnt out like
this. This is the first time they've ever met.
It's Vijay, I'm running around with her perm. It's Vijay, I'm running around with her perm. He cooks the big worm. How the fuck got the sham? I went to work like grandma.
A lot of pointing today.
Bitch, nigga gon' find out. I hope you know you need a flashlight. Trying to follow around it, huh?
Told you I'm out of control.
she says my words to your ways.
She's pretending like she knows the words to his part there.
He's pretending he knows the words to his part. First of all, playbook.
Come on.
Yeah, no. I know
that's best music moment of the year.
I'm clowning Cardi, but Cardi obviously like a genuinely inventive rapper. But I will say, what does it say about Camila Cabello that she has been responsible for the mainstream crossover song of Young Thug many years ago with Havana, a dismal record.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely unpleasant to listen to. And I love it. Genuine, like truly the most avant-garde pop single of the year. But what is the through line with Camila Cabello?
She loves Atlanta rap.
Does she? And as much as she loves Shawn Mendes? That much? I really don't know where the pressure points are with anyone tonight. All right, we'll save it for Q&A. Okay, I'm going to close out. And mine is like, it's more a vibe.
It's a vibe.
It's more a vibe than a thing.
You're all vibes tonight.
And you're all music criticism. Okay. Go off, JP. All right. It's been a tough year, as I said at the beginning of the show. And I do feel like it's been the year of beef. And you might be thinking, oh, Drake and Kendrick, obviously defining the shape of the year and ruining each other's
lives
and impugning each other's characters. That's really just, that's scratching the surface. And when I was thinking about what I actually wanted to do for this show, I was like, we should just do 10 beefs of the year.
We could have done that. It would have been more obvious.
I have some non-obvious beefs.
Let's hear them.
I'm just going to run through some non-obvious beefs. Well, obvious or not. Matty Healy and Azalea Banks. Great.
Team who?
Yeah, team who?
Team no one, huh?
What is the stan name for a 1975 fan?
Cheer if your team is Azalea Banks. All right, 1975 fans, cheer if your team Matty Healy. Okay, all right. Noted.
Nobody's going to get jumped tonight. Yeah, that was a vicious thing that happened on Twitter.
Recently.
X.com. Yeah. You guys still on X.com? Yeah, that's things still happen there. Azalea's having a great year on X, I think. I do want to show the next thing, which is, should I do all the long list and then we'll end with that?
Run them down.
No, run through the long list.
We're going to close with a song.
A song. a piece of music. Kamala versus Trump in music terms. New Jeans versus Hybe. Protect New Jeans. Protect
Team Hybe. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Protect New Jeans at all costs. Ray Gun, the breakdancer, versus America. J-Lo versus J-Lo, if y'all watched those movies. What a Trump. Honestly, more avant-garde than Camila Cabello and Playboi Carti.
Yeah, the J-Lo movie.
Genuine. Like, people throw that around. I feel like it's like such a lazy thing for a pop critic when something's weird to be like, that's avant-garde. That J-Lo, the meta documentary, they're going to be showing that at MoMA in 25 years. Like, it's going to be like an anthology film archive. This is going to be a fucking anthology on Routledge Press about that thing. Anyway, watch that if you haven't. Low-key, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo. I know they're
best
holding hands.
Frenemies. Can
I? I know they're holding fingers, but something's not right in that house. I'm just
putting
they
only
out
have 14 more months to pretend to be friends.
Thank you all for supporting my Wicked, my learning about Wicked on podcast. I appreciate that.
People are not happy about that.
I got a lot of positive feedback. I'll forward you the notes. People said Joe was wrong about the music.
More and more
people are saying that Joe is wrong about the music and Wicked. Cardi B versus Offset. Honestly, I wish they'd get back
together.
Started
up again yesterday.
Yeah, just rough. Really, really rough. Everyone versus Meek Mill. Everyone versus Tommy Richmond versus everyone. Y'all remember Tommy Richmond? Dark year for Tommy Richmond, unfortunately. and us versus Charlie XCX. Shh. I don't want to hear it. No questions. But the last thing, I have written extensively about Zach Bryan. I secured the only real interview with Zach Bryan, I think, if you don't count the Rolling Stone Springsteen thing.
Oh, yeah, you and Springsteen interviewed Zach Bryan. Yeah, separately.
my favorite musicians, Zach Bryan and Bruce Wayne. Zach Bryan, I've been following for a long time. I had the good fortune to spend time with him and interview him. Big tour this year. Went out to the tour opener in Chicago, I think, right before I went on leave. Zach Bryan had a tough fourth quarter. He had a tough Q4. He, as many of you know, is romantically involved with Brianna Chicken Fry from Barstool Sports, the BFFs podcast.
We do a cheer if you know who Brianna Chicken
Fry is. We're learning a lot as, like,
this is market research.
Audience research. They did not survive 2024. And
they're the Cardi B and Offset of the West Village.
Yes. No, of West Village.
Of West Village.
If you don't know that there's a "the," they're your Cardi B and Offset. Okay. And so Brianna Chicken Fry she's got support.
She's got shooters.
She really does. And Zach Bryan is most assuredly their op. So let's play a little bit of a little smanger featuring the vocal stylings of Stool Presidente Dave Portnoy and Pizza Scholar Dave Portnoy.
Your Instagram story.
Yeah, you say you remember everything. Guess not, you forgot about your wedding ring.
What?
This ain't a subtweet, I ain't coming subliminal. You're great at being country without the second syllable. Country. My fist plus your face, simple addition. The way you did her wrong, man, it's sickening. I'ma kick your dick in, then give you an adult circumcision. Think we in Kentucky where I fry you like some chicken. But you're from OK? Well, OK if you say so. Kinda ironic, cause soon you getting KO'd. Even shorter than me, so sorry, this a low blow. About to turn this place do an Oklahoma smoke show.
I mean, kind of a bar. Oklahoma Smoke Show, one of the great Zach Bryan songs. Why is there a bottle of Ace of Spades on the visualizer for this video? What does that have to do with anything? Did I miss a reference? I don't really have anything to say about this. Just this exists.
I got to take this off the screen.
Yeah, this exists. In a year that people were at each other's throats, they were wrestling, they were tussling, they were squabbling. It's tough. Maybe a little bit of comic relief woven into the squabble is what we need. We didn't squabble this year.
No.
We're here. Y'all are here. Those are our 10 moments of the year. Thank you so much. There is a microphone somewhere. Does someone have the microphone? Avery? Say hi to Avery. Avery's got a microphone.
We'll take a couple questions.
Please, if anyone has questions or professional help.
Do your worst.
Do you have like a BetterHelp discount code or something? Like one of those things that for like telehealth therapy?
Sponsor us.
Yeah. Chris.
Hi. Well, that's my name. I have a question. So the help video. I had... When I was looking at it, I'm just like, yo, this is the Justice. This is Justice revived. This is
That's so generous.
You know, it, but in terms of what type of swag they're trying to tap into.
Right.
So 4 years into the 2020s, what decade musically do you think that we're most similar to right
Ooh.
Now?
Why'd you give me a question I had to do homework for? Jesus Christ.
Are we in the 80s? Or are we in the 90s?
We're not in the 90s.
We're definitely not in the 90s.
We're not in the 90s. The 50s?
If you say so. You set yourself up for that one.
The kids call me Unk when I talk about the 50s. Dad, is it like the 50s? Okay, well, let's start with what it's not. It's not the 90s, which is preoccupied with scene authenticity, which is preoccupied with rejection of pop norms, counterculture, mainstreaming of the sort of isolated countercultures. Those things get upstreamed in the late 90s into the 2000s. I feel like we're in a very broken and fragmented era.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think what that is. It the 60s?
I feel like in the 60s they were coming towards something, right? They started to make albums. Like it was the singles into albums,
yeah.
And there was a new technology and everybody was going to make that technology.
What about the 2000s when everybody was confronting the internet for the first time and finding 10, 20 different solutions and people and scenes were actually stratified in a real way? Because if you wanted to find hip hop records, you had to go to one place. You wanted to find country records, you had to go somewhere else. You wanted to be on an REM fan site, you had to be somewhere else.
Bleachers fan site.
I see you. Is it the 2000s?
We'll go with that for now.
I feel like it's the 2000s or it's the 1960s. Because I just want to clarify one thing.
You're freestyling like Playboy Cardi right now.
Yeah, you know, can I clarify one thing?
Yeah.
I was not alive in the 1960s, despite what some of y'all think about how old I am. I would say it's 2000s or the 60s because the preoccupations right now don't feel like they're organized around I'm against this thing, pop down, underground, up. It feels far more fragmented and it's and actually a lot less ideological, dare I say. Like the 90s felt incredibly ideological, the 80s felt ideological and big, but
and the 2010s felt ideological.
Very ideological, but the 2000s, I think about a lot of the pieces I wrote in the 2000s, it just felt like chaos. People were literally just making it up as they went along. And that feels like the whole 2000s was like Gex. All
sure.
of it. The whole 2000s. Close enough, hopefully.
Hi, my name is Sophie, and sorry to be that girl, but I noticed Taylor Swift didn't make this list.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say Taylor Swift. I feel like we should get a prize for not saying Taylor Swift all night.
That is your prize.
You said Taylor, but you didn't say Taylor.
Yes, Swift. But that's your prize. Yeah. The adoration of the crowd.
Yeah. So if you had to pick a moment of hers from this year, I was curious like what it would be.
I got one.
Okay, can you take this?
It was her face when Travis Kelce was screaming Viva Las Vegas when they won the Super Bowl in February.
It's a really good one.
And she was like, ooh, really? Like, she's like, okay, all right. He just won. It's okay. It's all right. Sorry, we got this. You know, and we're like, well, hopefully we'll get to see that again.
You think
months.
She's forgiven him yet for it? I can't top that. That's a really good answer. I can't top that. Who has the mic?
My name is Jonathan. What's YVL.
Up, that's right.
Scrunch. So you brought up Cardi and Camila Cabello's collab earlier. What's a collab you want from a pop star and a rapper coming in 2025? So I had some suggestions. We got
start us off.
New Jeans and Netspen.
That's literally basically was going to be my answer. But okay, go ahead. Yeah, keep going.
Olivia Rodrigo, Osama-san.
That is wow. You're trying to get people arrested.
Baby Rexha, Boss Man D-Lo.
Yeah. Why are we answering
next
the question? Yeah, like what am I supposed to do? New Jeans and Netspen. If they're not already working on that. That's gotta be.
I will say you've already put this into the world.
Stay it.
But it's probably gonna happen.
Drake and Wallen. Yeah, Drake and Wallen. Oh.
Oh, okay. But you're gonna know the words.
Here's the thing. Don't say and then show me your 2025 Spotify Wrapped, and it's the number one song on your Spotify. All of you. Drake and Wallen, I feel like, is likely to happen. Well, I think that's not really in the spirit of Jonathan's question. Who is the pop star who Netspen is most likely to collaborate with?
I mean, Bieber.
Halsey.
No, it should just be whatever. When Bieber comes back, he should go all the way.
So Bieber featuring Netspen, produced by McGee?
Let's go.
I quit. I did it. It's literally it. It's over. Okay. Great question. Who's next?
Over here.
Okay.
My name is Kelsey, and I have two questions for John.
Wow.
Sorry,
Jeff. You want to take five?
Much love to Joe. Much
you want to take five? Okay.
First question, when can we expect the book? And can you give us a little
sneak? This is a safe space.
A little sneak preview.
She's a plant from Random House.
For the fam.
Do you work for my editor? Yeah. What's the second question? Sorry.
Okay, so we're skipping that one.
No, I'll answer both. I just want to...
But the second question is unrelated.
Great, that's fine.
Second question
Thank
is,
you.
What made the Boss Man D-Lo show so deeply unappealing?
Sure. I'll answer the question. It's hard to have a job. There are some colleagues in the building. It's hard to have a job and write a book at the same time. Joe has written a book in between. Yeah, Joe wrote a book. It was hard.
It's really
I've gotten pointers about how to balance those two things.
You know, my main pointer is lock up your phone. I've said it.
And literally, you see what my TikTok For You page is like. Like, clearly, I'm not locking my phone up. Soonish. Like, not forever. Largely, for my purposes, I have to get to a point in my life where I am on the other side of thinking about this particular thing. I do not wish to be in my 60s at some point and be like, damn, I'm so close to finishing this book. So I'll have more books to write. I'll have more things to do. So that was incredibly dark, and I can't believe you did that in front of a public audience. Absolute insanity. Boss Man Deal. Okay, so look, I've been covering shows for 25 years, been covering terrible shows for a really long time.
Never
shows
here, though. They only do good shows
here. But I think even Larry and everybody here would acknowledge that. I mean, look, I've seen Outkast here. I've seen Drake. I've seen amazing things here. But not everybody who has performed on this stage or other stages that I have observed is terribly organized. You might have a performer and 50 of their friends. I think if you've got, like, to me, Boss Man D'Lo has, or at least when I saw the show, let's say 3 hits. Maybe 4 actual hits. If you have enough hits that I've memorized most of your words, your show should be organized enough that you return to those, or they're structured in a way, or you deliver one, then maybe you sort of like
wander away. This is like Wicked, the film. Like Wicked.
Yeah. 1 to 3 hits.
Organized around
1 to 3 hits.
Yes.
Come back to the second one. Do a little wander. Come back to the third. Look, I'm deeply sympathetic to young performers. I know it's tough. I get it. But there's, as a middle-aged person, there's a maximum chaos that I can allow for myself. Also, dry cleaning bills for the smoke after the show.
That's not his fault.
No, yeah. Not a kid anymore. These are expensive jeans. They have to be taken care of.
Couple more?
Yeah.
Hi, I'm
dozens
Alana.
More.
I have a multi-part Camila question.
Let's go.
Sorry. Wow, let's go.
I Love It was my number one Spotify rap song. And I feel like
I thought
I was the only one who liked it, but I'm glad. But I was wondering what you thought about the rest of her album, if you listened. And I also saw that she's working with Olivia's producer, Dan Nigro, and I was wondering what you think of that pairing.
I did not listen to the rest of her album. Sorry.
No, it's good. It's good. It's good.
Is it?
It's good. There's
like
some
actually?
Really there's some really good songs.
Like
on there.
Weird yeah. good
yeah,
or
there's some
good.
There's some normal good and there's some weird good. But it's better than it has any right to be. I was going to pull up some of the track names.
Okay, I was going to say this could be pure fiction. I have no idea.
No, I'm telling you. It's Oh, see, those weren't great. Yeah, that was tough.
That's a no-no. That's a no for me, dog.
June Gloom. Smash, yeah, really good. Dade County Dreaming with JT, yeah, like it's a Florida album.
If you had to rank current pop girls' vocal talent, yeah, I said it. Where does she sit?
She's not on the list, but that's why I come to
right, right, okay, yeah, no, that's yeah. fine. I'm just and, clarifying.
And to answer the Dan Nigro question, too neat. Like Dan Nigro thrives with singer-songwriters. He thrives with Chapel and with Olivia because
big voices.
Big voices, very lyric focused. Like Camila is best in a collage, I think, and he wants to make songs.
That would be my best guess for Nigro. It's like you would peel back the layers of what she does, and I'm not sure that there's skeleton underneath there, and his whole thing is stripping down to the skeleton and showing it, and I just don't know what's there.
Yeah, what I get out of this album is that she likes
he'd
a
do
lot
better
of
with Normani. Just for the record,
I get
or Lauren Areghi. Yeah,
she's good on this album because she likes a lot of stuff, and you could throw all of that at the wall, but I don't know if she knows who she is in the Dan Nigro sense.
Yeah, I would agree. Who's next?
Hey guys, Chris Malanfi.
Oh,
what up, Chris?
We're in the VIP.
Fellow podcaster, fellow music writer. What's up, Chris?
Long time listener.
If you read Slate's number ones column, that's Chris.
That's right.
Hi guys.
You had a slow year this year. There's only like 4 records.
I didn't have to write anything for like 5 months.
Yeah,
thank you,
incredible.
Shabuzi. Yeah, exactly. So I liked John's year-end piece where your thesis was this was a year of, if I got this right, stars with no hits and hits with no stars.
Yeah, that's correct.
And what
tattoo I, that's tattoo it on your inner arm.
Right.
Hits with no stars.
Right,
no
and you jumped off from Tommy Richmond. And,
yep.
But what I found interesting was in the middle of the piece, you highlighted Playboi Carti and Yeat as rappers who are not playing the game. In other words, they are...
Yeah.
Hits with no, but not stars because they're not playing the star game.
Yeah.
And all right, the other thread is that 2023 was a nothing burger of a year for hip hop, and 2024 was a pretty big year for hip hop, but mostly because guys that we've known about for 15 years were sucking all the oxygen out of the room. So what I've been saying for a while is there's got to be a new generation. I mean, I think you guys said it yourselves about an hour ago, a new generation coming up to take their place. If Carti and Yeat are not playing the game, what's the means by which we're going to get that next generation? That's kind of what I'm waiting for.
I mean, that's an incredibly important question that everybody we know who works at a record label is obviously trying to solve. The one struggle that I think is the central struggle is hits, and by hits, I mean TikTok audios, are more disposable than ever. They move faster than ever. They do not attach to a particular person or performer. You've seen this throughout the last 4 years, pandemic era, I think in all genres, but especially in hip hop. And so you have people who are getting a tremendous amount of attention. Maybe they get to do a little bit of a tour. They might play a room like this, but there's not a formation of a bond with the artist. And I think rap labels, I mean, we were talking to some folks who work at rap labels earlier this week. Someone threw a number at me that the one label that I will not name was signing potentially 50 artists a month. Now, they're not signing them to $1 million deals. They're not signing them to $500,000 deals. But what they're doing is they're placing a bet on every number on the roulette table. They're putting one chip on every number. And what that's doing is stifling innovation because a lot of these younger artists aren't being properly resourced to grow and develop. This came up on our most recent episode with Larry Jackson, who runs Gamma. And ultimately, those deals are renewable and short-term. So if someone has a hit, maybe they'll get another check. But if someone doesn't have a hit, they're going to get kicked back out into the wilds. There is no one, no managers, probably preciously few lawyers who are really advocating for the creators of that music. And unfortunately, in this particular ecosystem, hip-hop is treated as more disposable than other genres. So the answer to your question is I don't know the answer to your question. It's really frustrating, which is part of why I was stressed about Bossman D-Lo, because I was like, character, personality, wit, savvy, lyrical ingenuity, expensive sneakers, like great, like everything's great. But no one had said, here's how you get on a stage and win people over.
On the flip side, I will say, I think where those stars are being made, I think is on the road, which wasn't always true. But you think of someone like a Ken Carson, who's really become...
Took a few years.
But I'm saying that in a good way, it took a few years. And I think Sexy Red is also on that path, doing a lot of hard ticket sales, shows, a couple mixtapes here and there, couple big music videos, and being more gradual and deliberate. So I think like eventually... I would love it if Sexy Red is a star on par with, you know, the people who are taking up all the oxygen now. And I think it's possible. It just might take a little time.
Get it sexy. Get it sexy. Who's next? What, two more?
Yeah, we'll do two more.
Two more. Hey.
So this year, Katy Perry came back. And
wait, what?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Can you fact check that before you... all questions should be fact checked.
Oh, yeah, also, my name's Lynn. I forgot to say that part. We were all very excited for her, and then I feel like we were all very mad at her for good reasons. And so I'm wondering, is there a chance Katy Perry could ever come back to her glory, you know?
Wait, did you do a deep breath into the mic at the same time I did?
Yeah. I do want to shout out Katy Perry's stylist. As many fans as Dave Blunt's. I believe her name is Tatiana Waterford, who has done incredible things with Katy Perry's visual presentation. The Katy Perry of 2024 visually, and 2023 as well, feels miles beyond the kind of like 1.0 exploding birthday cake of 2012 or whatever, and whatever was happening in the late 2010s where she was like trying to do trap records. They really nailed that. The question, musically, does Katy Perry need to exist in this current pop ecosystem? Genuine question. And I don't see, if these are the stars that we're talking about, Chapel and Sabrina Addison, if these are the stars, yeah, that's right, moving forward, there is something like earnestly goofy about Katy Perry that doesn't really jibe with the new tenor, especially of female pop. When you say, can she have a comeback, you mean to her full, for like the full glory?
No.
Yeah, the answer is no. The answer to that is no. But do you mean like to 30% of that, to 60%, or you mean strictly to 100%?
Prism. All right, so we're setting the bar pretty low, like somewhere in the middle. I mean, I think
the most memorable thing about the Prism era is that they spray painted the sidewalks with Prism. I couldn't tell you a song from that, but I did remember the sidewalk.
Here's what I'll say: the career of a pop star has a certain shape usually, and that shape is, maybe you start off a little bit, you get really big, and then you go away. Or you change, you do something else, you make, you know, adult contemporary music. That's fine, but like, I did a project
Drew
earlier
Barrymore
this year.
Show type beat.
Yeah, yeah. I did a project earlier this year about Taylor Swift's career and where her peaks are. And the thing that's so impressive on one level about Taylor Swift is that she's 20 years into her career and bigger than ever. Like, that is unheard of, especially for women in pop. Now, we could sit here all night and talk about the reasons for that and the sort of the ageism and the sexism involved in us only wanting a bright young thing, but when you get to Katy Perry's age, there's just less need for you in the mainstream because there's a decade and a half of people coming up behind. So I think without a major pivot, like if she wants to, you know, you got to find your Tony Bennett, basically, if that's what you, because I mean, even look at Gaga, like Gaga put out Disease. It's like,
so you're saying Billie Eilish?
Yeah. I mean, like Gaga put out a pretty good Lady Gaga song that a lot of people are like, this is the Lady Gaga I love. And like, where is it? It's like literally falling off of the Hot 100 as we speak. So I just think it's like, it's an uphill battle and maybe they should be fighting a different war.
I also just think the terms of pop music change so radically year to year. I mean, it's not just for female singers. Look at Bruno Mars this year. Bruno had two, let's say, serviceable to strong Bruno Mars collaborations.
Apparently this Lady Gaga song, Speaking of Gaga, is a huge hit. I've never heard it. like, are you hearing that?
It's like the only star with a hit that's like the Tommy Richmond song, right, where no one has seen them before. Yeah.
We'll see it at the Grammys.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, we probably will. I just think that the terms of contemporary pop have cast aside a number of people who came before. And unless you're someone like Adele, who has one extremely robust, fixed idea, and every 5 years you come back around and be like, y'all like that idea? I sure got some more of that for you. Unless you're doing that and your persona is so honed, Katy Perry was trend hopping, trend chasing all through the 2010s. I actually think that if Katy Perry had just stayed bright, bubbly, Technicolor,
it would have come back around.
It would have come back around and maybe even would have stuck around in a perverse way where there would be, what are the Katy Perry stands called?
Katy Cats.
Sorry to not know that. Where the kitty cats would have something, they would be eating.
Katy cats.
Sorry, they would have been eating well all through the 2010s. But instead, we're stuck here, and you have to ask us that question. That's tough. That's unfortunate.
All right, last question. Yeah.
Last question.
And then we'll take
we'll hang out.
Questions.
Oh, we have to have a snack.
We're going
to
do that.
We're going to take one more question, then we're going to have a snack.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Becca. I'm here with my friend that I met via Bleachers, so
yeah, Bleachers fan community.
Amazing.
Yes.
Sorry.
Again, send our regrets and my regrets, not Joe's, mine.
But with the Eras tour ending, thank God.
R.I.P.
Are you sure?
Are we sure?
We'll find out.
Yeah.
After she takes a 3-week break,
she's gonna do the pop out. Her and Kendra are gonna do the pop out. 40 dates.
And with, you know, so many reports saying it's like the biggest tour of all time, yeah, and grossing, How do you feel about the state of touring, not necessarily at that height, but at the club and theater level that has been struggling for artists, especially considering, you know, we've dealt with the last 10 years of music losing its value, and now with touring at that level losing its value? How do you see career artists who are never going to play arenas? Where do you see that live experience going?
So you're saying specifically for older artists, like artists who are on the back nine of their careers?
Back nine, or are never going to make it to the top, like people who maybe 10, 15 years ago could play clubs and theaters and tour and be have a profitable tour. Now it feels like it's like you make it to arenas or you die. And how do you feel about that?
I have sort of an answer. Maybe, and I don't know that this is correct, but maybe, like, when I think about people buying vinyls or CDs or merch, it's like the musician had to remake making music as a luxury proposition. They had to remake their business model, fundamentally say, I make music and that's what invites you in the room. Now please purchase all my other services, right? Or all my other merchandise. I wonder if that tier of live is actually going to move more luxury. I'm sure Ticketmaster would love it, but I wonder if it's going to move more luxury, and instead of artists, like you're saying, sort of slogging it out on the road and not sure if they're going to make money every night and maybe only break even on a mid-sized tour, maybe they do half as many dates in cities where they feel like they can sell tickets at the highest value, save 3 months of their year, and earn the same amount at a higher ticket point. Now, that's not good for us. That's not good for the people in this room. But I think people are really understanding that the life of a touring musician who's not an A-lister, that life, that's a middle-class life or a lower-middle-class life. And I think it's as hard now as it's ever been. So in the same way that I think those musicians have remade merch and T-shirts and vinyl as luxury and they're brand, that's maybe where live is going to go to.
So I'll see you on the Paramore cruise.
would. As you know, at the end of every episode of Popcast/Popcast Deluxe, we eat a snack. Yeah. Shall we have a snack? Oh my God, I didn't ask Hua's question. Hua sent a question. Our dear friend Huasu got me this snack from Europe, Switzerland. Hua, when you're listening, I'm sorry I didn't ask your question. It was mostly making fun of me, though, so that's probably fine.
Is it a Swiss flag on the back?
Or the Red Cross?
Sure.
Okay. Are these OVO rocks or OVO rocks? Sorry. These are OVO rocks.
Did he do that on purpose?
You'll have to ask him. These are OVO rocks. They are Swiss. They are chocolates, and I Googled them. Maybe you're supposed to melt them in your coffee?
But we're going to eat them.
We're going to, no, you can eat
we're
them.
We're going to raw dog the OVO rocks?
Yes, we are. It's an alternate consumption pattern. So we're going to have a couple, and then we're going to pass these around. And
we'll review them.
Yes, and we'll review them. Hold on.
John's big on smell.
It's giving, like, regional Nestle factory. Like, not the main one. Like, not the one where the good stuff comes from.
I mean, they're duller than I wanted them to be.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be more shard-like.
It's really hard when your candy looks like a turd. Sorry. I have a baby.
Wow. Dark turn.
Oh, they're good, though.
It's like a malt ball.
It's Buncha Crunch mixed with a Whopper.
It's like, it's a Whopper. It's a chocolate malted. A chocolate malted.
But like a little bit of Buncha Crunch.
Yeah. I'm into this.
All right, let's pass
I'm messing
it
with this heavy.
Where are you going?
No, don't give it to that one. No, I'm just kidding.
Where are you going out of 10?
What'd you give it?
I'm asking you.
I'm going to be honest. That's a 9. 9.5.
Would you house the whole bag?
Yeah, thank God there's people here. I haven't had dinner.
So you're just hungry, 9.5. I'd say that's like a solid 7 flat. Pretty good.
Seven?
I'm not a chocolate guy.
We had ranch-flavored doodles the other day that
you
gave a
loved them.
I did, but not like... All right, that's That's actual sicko mode. Okay, that is our show. Thank you so much. Very, very kind and generous of everybody to be here. I'm John. That's Joe. Special thank you to Pedro Rosado from Head Separate Media. Shout outs to Edwin up in the sound booth. Thank you to Larry and Avery and everybody at SOBs. We are grateful. We're happy to be here. We're going to hang out. Come chat with us. Have a beautiful night.